we start getting awareness of subliminal activity, then we get a much better idea of what's really going on in our minds, of what we are really doing. And the more we do this, the more we realize that the way we think of ourselves is usually largely inaccurate. Because what's really going on below the surface, below this crust of idea about who we are, is much more powerful, much more radical, totally direct, and unconcerned with what we think we are. So this is a very powerful part of our being. If you really understand this, you can see why it's so difficult. Number one, to change habits. And then number two, to work skillfully with emotions. And number three, to be able to develop our finer qualities, our potential. Because although we can do it, this unconscious and subliminal activity is constantly diverting energy. It's constantly resulting in avoidance, denial, blocking, and making it extremely difficult to get in touch with the powerful energy forces in our minds. So this is why in our compassion training course, you can see we started with the reflections. These were ways to try and help you get down into that subliminal. Start getting some experience of yourself at that level. Then we start using things like Tonglen and these cards to reflect and so forth. Because this then is what we call cognitive intervention. We introduce new ideas so that the mind can focus on alternative ways. But at the same time, we need to realize that when we focus on those new ways, those alternative ways, change is not going to come about immediately. The cognitive intervention is the beginning of a much longer process. It's the beginning of giving us different reference points, so that we can start establishing other points of view. But on its own, cognitive intervention will be very, very weak. It won't have much effect. When it's combined, though, with a deeper understanding, then we have a very potent combination of methods of working. Tools, if you like to call them that. But projection is a key factor, and mostly, when we are projecting most, we will be most disinclined to believe that we're projecting. So, if somebody is projecting onto you, when they're in full flight, number one, well, now let's turn it around. When you're projecting onto somebody else, on those rare occasions when you project onto somebody else. Number one, there will be strong emotion. Number two, there will be inflation. Your sense of self, of your own importance and your own significance, will be inflated. So your mind will start saying things like, "How dare you? And don't you know who I am?" And things like that.
Can't it also be deflated, but that's still egocentric?
I didn't hear you.
Can't it also be deflated, like I'm awful?
Yes, the reverse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm thinking of when I'm projecting my negatives on somebody else. Then there will be blame. And the blame will be turned into a whole series of stories. So one of the things you'll find yourself doing when you're projecting is you'll start running a lot of stories. You'll generate a number of different scenarios in your mind. And as I've often said, what we often do is start making up extremely pompous speeches that we're going to deliver in public against the other person. And we think of saying things that we think are extremely clever and designed to reveal how bad and awful the other person is being and how clever and unblameworthy you are. And then it will go further. We will start discovering, in inverted commas, more and more and more negative qualities in the other person. And more secret motivation in the other person. We will find that they're up to all sorts of devious tactics against us. And if you look back on it afterwards, you'll be amazed at how much time that person spends thinking about you. Then, of course, the very best thing is if when you're in full flight projection, the other person says to you, "You are projecting." Exactly. You go ballistic, because it is such an outrageous suggestion for them to make. Because you so know that they are to blame. And that everything they are doing is designed to target you. And the marvelous thing is, when we're looking at something like a negative projection, how we will be experiencing, let's say, anger, but we will never acknowledge it to ourselves. We will be so carried away with the storyline and the target and the wrongness and the wickedness of the other person that it will never occur to us to stop and look at ourselves. Okay, so that is negative projection. Positive projection could be hero worship or one of those things. And the hallmark of positive projection is disempowering of oneself. So then, of course, the big question is, what do we do to free ourselves from projection? You know, in the Jungian terminology, the goal is to take back projection. They say, take it back. First of all, it is to start the process we've begun tonight, which is to get some sense of what projection looks like when it's happening. Then, what you can do is start watching other people, which you've probably already done, and see others when they are projecting. See how they become fixated. See how all their energy gets drawn into that one bundle of wrangling, anger, turmoil, whatever it is that's there. See how their perspective gets limited and drawn down into that one place, so that they start to lose perspective. Loss of perspective is another good indication of projection. Then you'll begin to recognize this in yourself when you do it. Now, what is very interesting when you start working in this way is that you will start getting a sense that you're projecting. But it's like you've already got on the roller coaster and you're just going full tilt and there's not much you can do about it. But at least you get some sense of, okay, I'm now projecting. So maybe the first step is projection management. When you recognize you're projecting and you want to go and attack the other person or whatever it is, give yourself a day or two before you act. But the best is at least to sleep on it. Because very often, whatever it is you're projecting will come out in a dream. So, give yourself time before you fly into action. That can be difficult. Because when you're projecting, you will know that you're seeing the situation accurately, and that whatever you think has to be done, has to be done for the other person's benefit as well as everybody else's. And generally, it needs to be done as soon as possible.
Otherwise it loses its impact.
Rob, I often check it out with someone else.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't
hear that. So often I'll check it out with someone else. You know, if I kind of have this sense that I'm, you know, feeling really kind of justified in myself and I'm going to go and tell somebody, I'll just check it out with someone else.
And you seem to know who to pick, though.
Yeah.
What, to project onto or talk to?
To talk to.
To talk to.
Yeah.
Join,
yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah, you need to find somebody who's quite courageous and honest. Because it's highly risky to tell somebody they're projecting, even if they've asked you.
Rob, how subtle does it go? Like, if I think I'm totally fine, and you know, am I probably projecting that too?
It's quite possible. Sorry to say, but enjoy it while you can. Know, if you're in that space, enjoy it. But remember, projection results in self-delusion.
So,
yeah.
Do these layers of self projection go so far that they reveal the no self?
Yes. This is why it's so valuable to work with projection, because
they reveal the no self.
The whole notion of self is in itself a projection. It's all projection of the mind.
But I mean, Jung never went that far, right? He was looking for projection to normalize.
But the Buddha did.
Yeah.
The Buddha said this entire universe is a collective projection of all our minds.
Sorry, Rob, you're talking like about projecting externally to other people and stuff. What about internally?
Exactly,
so. We create concepts of, like, you know, we can fixate on, like, very negative.
Yeah, so then it's called introjection, and the process is the same.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
So when you start getting into that fixation, and you like blame on the subject problem that you have within,
yeah,
then you've got to recognize that and do the same thing.
Exactly so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you can see there are all the different ways. There's projection, negative projection onto others. Then there's positive projection. Then there's introjection, where usually that's in the form of self-attacking, where we fixate on negatives in ourselves and usually blow them out of all proportion. And then convince ourselves that everything is terrible. You know, when your mind